Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Pardon?
I said we finally got Tara to shut up so we can start the show. Here we go.
God.
Jeez.
What?
Nothing, I guess.
Both of you shut.
I think I need another mental health day.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With It, Beverly Hills 90210. Oh, today's episode is Season 6, Episode 24, Coming Out, Getting Out, Going Out. And now here are your hosts, Sarah D. Bunting and somebody else.
Do. Jesus.
Nothing.
My God.
Hey, Elsie. How's it going?
Hi, everybody. For some site business. Number one, by the time this hits, we will have just dropped on Friday night a very special mini all about RuPaul's Drag Race, which had a 90210 Ho Maxi Challenge in the episode airing Friday, May 5th. So if you somehow missed that, please go back to your feed and listen to it. Also, new shirt in the store. Dave, tell us all about it.
It's Sex Out 1996, colon, the shirt.
Yes. So go to glarkwear.com and please buy that and proudly wear it to commemorate the 24 hours or 12. I forget which it was when you did not have sex in 1996 to raise money.
Layer
for
it with
day.
Your pleasure hut shirt.
Yes. Which I think is not they're in all the back. Store at the moment. Oh, they're all back.
They're all back except for Blaze.
Nice.
Exciting announcement. Yeah, I understand, but Blaze. I forgot when that shirt was in the store about the other, the Blaze, with all the right-wing crazies. I assume that's why you pulled it.
No, I just, would have to redo it from scratch for, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Moving on to our episode.
Things people don't care about.
And that's this whole episode, pretty much. God, speaking of which, Joe's heart.
Yeah, our C quote plot unquote, Joe's heart, yet even some more. I don't even know. Like, there is nowhere else to put this. That's why it's own thing. It's such an on event. But Joe had his surgery and he doesn't even have scars. Although while he was under, they apparently gave him a haircut, which you can see in the visual aids.
They shouldn't have. It's
no,
bad.
It does. It looks worse. It's like very short on the sides. It's like the Sally Hershberger for men. I don't approve, but you can see it in the middle.
And also, do you remember that phase when like Katie Couric got a crop, I guess, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word? Like, it wasn't exactly a pixie, but it was very short.
Yeah.
She immediately regretted it and started like back combing the back to make it look more formal.
Yeah.
That's Joe's hair, except the slept-in football player version.
Right.
Matters will not improve. This is the most interesting part of his plot, so please excuse me for interrupting. Let us get it over with.
He has a pacemaker. He'll be able to play again next season. Moving on.
Hooray.
To our B plot, Nat's love life stuff.
Oh,
wait,
we
what?
Stay in the C plot a little while longer?
We'll be fondly remembering our time in the C plot.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
An examination of Nat's love life?
Yes, Dave.
Okay.
It's terrible. The two gang couples.
Season 6. Now it's Nat's time to shine.
All right. Anyway, the two gang couples. Which
tell you this
be,
much. He's given it away for free.
Please go back to bed.
That was pretty good, Dave.
Are you done?
No.
The two gang couples, Brandon and Susan and Steve and Claire, see Joan coming out of the back room of the Peach Pit with Nat. But when she leaves, he says that they went out a few times again, but the magic from the old days is gone. Joan, you will remember from the episode when they were with the Roger Corman Film Festival, when this woman from his past that he used to be engaged to came back into his life. Anyway, Susan wants to do something to hook them back up. Brandon wants to do nothing except hit her upside the head for wanting to get involved, which Sarah made a gif of. Like, what are we supposed to feel about this couple, honestly? Meaning Brandon and Susan.
Yeah, exactly. But I was just like, partly it's just 90210 trying to be funny and
cute.
Failing.
Right.
But the whole, like, Three Stooges enter and exit the scene thing that he is increasingly doing to make his own fun, I am sure, and I am completely sympathetic, but not by hitting the lady.
No.
Amy?
No. No.
Or anyone, because you're tiny and that's how you're going to get yourself killed. But
right, but it reads one way when he does it to Steve, that it does not read that way when he does it to Susan, is the
correct
thing. All right, so that happens. Then Susan and Claire stalk Joan to the lamp store where she either works or owns it, possibly, not clear, who cares. On the pretext of buying Susan a new desk lamp, but after 2 seconds of looking at the selection, Susan says that Nat hasn't been the same since Joan left this morning, and did they have a fight? And Claire keeps undermining her efforts to hook Joan and Nat back up. Like, Claire, you could have just not come. But anyway, Joan says she does care about Nat, but can't put her finger on what's going wrong between them. She guesses she just can't repeat the past. And then in her dorm room bed, poor Emma Caulfield is saddled with these musings while Brandon is trying to stick his thing in her in clip number 2.
I wonder what it was, you know? I mean, I wonder why they broke up. I mean, you know, to be apart after all these years, you know? I mean, it must have been meant to be. I just can't quite figure out why they're apart now.
Maybe she didn't know when to be quiet.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well,
it
wouldn't be a conversation between Brandon and Susan if Susan wasn't apologizing for speaking.
For existing. Yeah, Jesus. Meanwhile, he is, quote, nibbling on her ear. In a fashion usually reserved for frozen saltwater taffy. Like, at one point, the lobe is standing off her head at this, like, horror movie angle that I'm like, this is just not okay.
No.
I hate him so much, but whatever. How does that scene even end?
Yeah.
He finally listens to her for 2 seconds, and then in exchange, he gets to mount her.
I guess. I don't even have any more notes on the scene, so apparently that's where I stopped caring. Moving on, elsewhere. Oh, no, we get back to them, because then we cut over to Claire and Steve, where Claire is supposing that Joan and Nat got bored because passion can't sustain itself, but Steve isn't worried that the same thing will happen to them because he knows how to keep romance alive, I guess. Susan is so obsessed with Nat getting laid that she pushes Brandon off her and insists that they need to help. Brandon doesn't think they can force it with a double date, but Susan thinks that that's exactly what they need. But a triple date with a bunch of college students sounds unbearable. And then Claire and Susan have this whole plan intended to recreate the historical era when Joan and Nat were dating the first time, which Claire says was 1971, and Steve thinks is the age of disco, clip number 3.
Seldom right and wrong again, Steve.
And yet, meanwhile, everything that they do on this triple date of nostalgia seems like it's from 1941, but since I didn't care, I guess I just won't mention that.
Yep, fair. But when they send Brandon and Steve to sell Nat on it, he refuses for a while and then relents. The first stop in a tacky white limo is the site of their first date. A hot dog stand. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say, there's like a whole thing where they're like getting together at the house and figuring it out, and Brandon's going to be somewhere. It's like not worth, it's so tiresome. I did not take any notes on it, except please go to the visual aids to get Sarah's diptych of Susan's terrible, dumb prom hair that she's put on for this event.
It's so awful. She has such lovely hair, and it really starts going completely off the rails with this weird, like, faux 60s thing when it's down.
Yeah.
But then it's up in this, like, what I call the Catherine McKinnon. Bless her heart, but hair was not her strong suit.
No.
I guess this makes me a bad feminist, but it's this loose, frumpy chignon that's also all tenderly, and it's not okay. And
no.
I just could not stop staring at it. It was so bad that I was angry.
Yes. And of course, because it's the 90s, she's in like a shiny satin floral print thing, which she has another one of next week, and it's all bad. Anyway, at the hot dog stand, they eat hot dogs and have a champagne toast. Everyone discusses how they met. It is not interesting. In the car, Joan and Nat remember Perino's, a restaurant which is closed, but which was their favorite place to go for celebrations. But they're not going to a fake recreation of it, which makes me wonder why even bring it up. They're going to the address of the bungalow where they lived together for a while, scandalously, which is now all boarded up and sad, I assume, because it's full of uranium or asbestos or something. Like, where are there? Where is there a huge lot like that with a boarded up building on it anywhere in the greater Los Angeles area? I'll tell you, nowhere. But then they both get out and remember everything about it and kiss. And finally, it's time to meet up with Brandon for the grand finale, the most improbable part of all of this. It's at the Excelsior Hotel, which they say has been closed for years, but which, A, they've somehow gotten access to, and B, does not look like it's been in disuse for a day, never mind years. Like, the carpet looks great, the lights work, like, none of this makes sense.
Yeah, and like any hotel, especially a vintagey one, would have been left alone by Angelino developers for
right.
even a week.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
So Nat asks how they pulled it off, which I would also like to know, but there won't be an answer for any of us anyway. This is where Joan and Nat had their first kiss. Everyone dances, even Brandon, and it's boring, but it eats up time, so I'm okay with it. We also have an A plot, but first... Oh my God.
forgot what it was. It's the other one. Which one is it? It's not the... Oh, no, I forgot. Metastasize.
There you go.
Woo! All right, guys. Remember, we'd like to hear from you how you think Nat and Joan have sex. Let Tara and Sarah know at AWT90210 on Twitter or on Facebook. You can vote hashtag sandwich of the day or hashtag in the peach pit. Now on with our show.
No idea what's happening. To our A plot, Colin's a jailbird.
I don't either, but it's going to ruin French dips for a lot of people.
A plot, Colin's a jailbird. Kelly gets sprung and Tara can't live without her. So Colin is in county and Val thought she should wear her shortest skirt to go visit him. Bad move, Val. He exposits that it's been 2 weeks and he's going nuts, but she says she doesn't have $100,000 to give to a bail bondsman. Now, this is going to get spelled out later in the episode, but in my notes I guess that would mean his bond is $1 million, which I guess is possible, what with the public safety issues of his having started a freeway chase and stuff. But anyway,
I don't think so.
Well, no.
Especially since he was going 12 miles an hour, although we weren't supposed to think that. But
right.
Yeah, I don't get that either, because later she gives... I don't know how bail works. I'm just going to knock wood just in case. But yeah, I don't really know how it works. And here's what I do know. You shouldn't be taking this tone with the woman that you want to bail you out.
Well, right. So we'll get around to the money amount and how bail works, but this part of it makes no sense, and no one on the writing staff thought to go back and correct it. Anyway, she has no hard assets. She doesn't own the building that the club is in, and nightclubs are regarded as fly-by-night, rightly. And her family already has a second mortgage on their house, not that his stepfather would pay his bond otherwise. Anyway, and all I have to say for someone who brought all this on himself... Colin is giving a lot of tone in clip number 4.
Do you have any idea what kind of hell I'm living through?
Look, I have a business appraiser looking over the books and the inventory, okay? He says he'll work with me on the numbers, but you're going to have to hold out a little longer.
I can't hold out a little longer. I'm not going to make it in here. You hear me? I'm not going to make it.
Look, I'll have an answer later this afternoon, okay? Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay.
You're all I've got. Get me out.
The problem with his whole attitude in this episode is that he's acting like he's been wrongly convicted of like stealing a loaf of bread or something. Like every part of this is your fault. You did all of that is A. B, how about please, you fucking dick, get me out, get yourself out. Fuck you.
Yeah. And if you really can't take it in there, don't put yourself in that position.
Right.
Don't like help your drug dealer out with a errand in Torrance. And if you want to be gotten out, flies, honey, vinegar, yeah. Hello. Yeah. I don't know how much of this is the writer's not really understanding the situation or wanting to make Val look pathetic, which is help she didn't need,
yeah.
Or Jason Wiles's profound limitations as an actor, but mm-hmm. it's not working.
No. So, guys, you won't believe this. Waiting Room Redhead is back. In time to show us that Kelly is packing to leave and Tara is sad. Tara only has 1 week left in rehab and asks if Kelly will come visit her. Kelly says she'll see her when she comes back for outpatient treatment. So in other words, no. Kelly is clearly already over Tara's neediness and sighs that she'll be fine. And Tara goes to get Kelly's cashmere sweater from the closet, but Kelly says she wanted her to keep it. And then Greg, the hunky resident, is at the door to wish her good luck and totally acts like Tara is not even there. Like, it's almost like Tara is a ghost that he can't see for how much he does not acknowledge her. But anyway, Kelly gives Tara a hug and then goes back to her old life, or try to, and Kelly and Greg flirt their way to the elevator, which you can see Waiting Room Redhead on the move behind them. You can see it in the visual aids. She gives him this terrible, lascivious look, which was in the visual aids with Sarah's file name as, what was it, Mom Hair Really Feeling Herself?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Accurate. All right, so back to the money question. Val goes to see this bail bondsman who judges her for trying to help Colin since he's finally gotten around to seeing the footage of the police chase, and I do not blame him. She's certified the equity in her club, so all he needs is a cashier's check for $10,000, so, which means Colin's bail is $100,000. So what was she talking like she had to come up with that whole amount herself? She's going to go to a bail bondsman? Don't get it. I guess it was that was what the certifying her assets was for? I don't know.
No idea.
Also, when Ginger was in town, we were heard that she had $50,000 cash on hand. Whatever. She gives him the check. He hopes Colin doesn't get a hankering to see the world. Her either. And then the camera does this slow pan in on her that's very Melrose Place. I don't approve. Donna is stressed at the apartment that the music that they're playing might upset Kelly, but she seems fine as David and Jackie bring her back. They can't wait to show Kelly whatever they've done with her room, but on the way, trouble in clip five.
Wait a second, wait. Where's Colin's painting?
In the trash.
We took it down.
Where it belongs.
Why? Well, we didn't think that was the first thing you'd want to see when you got home.
Let me do my own redecorating, all right?
Sorry.
Okay.
She isn't. Ron Howard voice. She isn't. I'm not either.
Claire's attitude to Kelly, like that they don't have this history, so Claire is very whatever about her, is kind of excellent.
Yeah, it really is. And it will continue to be excellent. But I would also note, I don't know if this is in the visual aids because I, like, who cares? Mm-hmm. The set designer made sure to like leave an outline of the painting on the wall that implied that it had been up for 2 years in a New York City apartment where the soot comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why? Who cares?
Right. Yeah.
Like, just do a close up of the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Better than seeing the actual painting, I guess. Anyway, moving on.
Which, unfortunately, we will next week. But what they're so excited to show her is that they got her some goldfish. Yay. She says she's going to name big orange one David. And she also gets hurt when he asks about Colin. And David calls him a jailbird and couldn't make bail since, in her opinion, Colin has been humbled enough. Not sure what she'd know about getting humbled, but okay. The phone rings. Kelly correctly guesses that it's Tara and asks David to kick everyone out, basically. Apparently, this is the soundtrack of their big reunion, clip six. This is music a person owns as opposed to Safeway.
Climbing up the charts at number two, it's Your Elevator. It's number three in the UK, where it's known as Your Lift.
And David, the music guy, probably picked it out, too, to set the scene.
Right.
For their extremely weirdly vibed, like, rehab, welcome home, brunch slash
yeah,
new mom lunch. It just is a very weird, like...
It is.
No one in that writer's room knows anyone in recovery. Kay.
Yeah. Or, yeah, right. Or is anyone in recovery? Whatever. Donna is worried, but everyone seems okay, giving Kelly some space. And then Colin calls Kelly from jail to say he was thinking about her. He says where he is, but that he's getting out tonight. He wants to see her, but she hangs up on him. And then Val is in some kind of waiting area when a dude calls her name and swiftly commences making a bad first impression in clip 7.
I'm Tony Spencer, Mr. Roberts' lawyer. He made bail.
Robbins. His name is Colin Robbins.
Sorry, Robbins. Look, he'll be out within the hour.
Well, wait, so what's next?
We try and plead the charges down.
Plead down? What do you mean, plead down? Are you saying that we don't have a defense? That we have to take whatever deal they give us?
Ms. Malone, I'm a public defender. 30 cases found their way onto my desk this morning. Now, I do the best I can do the way I see fit to do it. Now, if you want to pay for the high price spread, I can give you a referral.
Okay, so let's say we take the plea. What's the best you can do?
Well, we're looking at possession, resisting arrest, and driving recklessly while trying to evade a police officer. He's looking at least 3 years in the state penitentiary.
3 years?
If I'm lucky, I can get it down to a year.
Well, that's unacceptable.
Best I can do.
Again, Val is also acting like he was wrongly convicted of stealing a loaf of bread. He led police on a freeway chase. It's kind of a, even if it was slow, it's still a big deal. Like, whatever.
And was a bitch about it. And like, was a bitch about it. I don't know.
When Val brings Colin back to his studio, he's in a very sour mood, bitching that he smells and is probably going to prison. Val tells him he needs another lawyer, but he has no money. Well, she says she's going to pay him or her. Hello. She doesn't admit the possibility she might get a lady lawyer. Anyway, Colin doesn't say either that or that he can't let her do it or thank you. The next morning, Kelly staggers into the kitchen where Jackie is arranging the fancy pastries she brought over. Kelly's very happy to be back in her own bed. And then Tara calls again to complain about the breakfast at the hospital. She's sorry she kept calling so much. She just misses Kelly. And when she hangs up, it's an issue in clip 8.
God, how many times has she called this morning?
I don't know, Donna. I haven't been counting.
Okay.
Apparently not. Apparently you slept through it and let everybody else pick up the gazillion calls for you.
Yeah.
It's called a red flag. Look at it. See it waving. Get a grip.
They also, again, either Jenny Garth can't figure out how Kelly feels about Tara or the writers keep flipping back and forth. Because really, at the hospital, she seemed very happy to get rid of her. And now she's, you know, acting like she's her only lifeline. Whatever. Jackie quickly changes the subject to school, but Kelly thinks she's going to get incompletes in all her classes anyway, so she's going back to bed. And Donna goes after her to apologize about what she said about Tara. Kelly says it's okay, but Donna needs to understand Kelly's the only person that Tara has. Good luck, Tara. Val has made the mistake of getting takeout at the Peach Pit instead of one of the tens of thousands of other restaurants in the greater LA area, which, by the way, if the Peach Pit is in Beverly Hills and Colin's studio is in Venice, it will definitely be cold by the time she gets there. And runs into David, who thinks he's entitled to say shit about her life, in clip 9.
So, I heard Colin made bail.
Yeah, you heard right.
Well, I hope you were smart enough not to put up any of your own money for that.
You know what? That's none of your business.
So I'll take that as a no. You know, I can't believe you could be so stupid.
You know, you were always so jealous of Colin.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to be jealous of there. You know, Val, you don't make any sense. You went through hell trying to keep your friends from knowing what was going on between you and Ginger, and now you're pulling this. What, do you expect everyone to just agree with what you're doing?
You know what? You have no right to make accusations about anything I do. I trusted you, and you deserted me.
Oh, I loved you, and you were willing to push me off on your friend for the night. What do you think you're going to get out of this other than trouble?
I know what you're thinking, David. I know what everybody's thinking, and I don't care. Maybe all of you should learn a little bit about loyalty. You guys used to be Colin's friend until he screwed up, and then you turn your back on him. I won't do that. I never will.
So what? What are you saying? You love him?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I do.
Well, just remember this, Val. When you play with dirt, you get dirty.
Well, thanks for the fortune, Ew. Cookie, David. But keep it to yourself.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I hate to say any sentence even in this general, you know, area code, but David's making a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
Yes, he is. But also, like, he also is being very inconsistent because I feel like two episodes ago he was in pain seeing Val and wanted to get back together, and she was like, whatever, dude, so whatever. But yes, he's right about
that. Well, then he had a three-way with those Marys, so really.
Oh, God, the Marys.
You should be loving life.
True. It will not surprise you to learn that Kelly can even be a bitch about renting movies in clip number 10.
So, what do you feel like?
Oh, I don't know. Anything, really.
Period romance.
No.
Okay, we can go the other way. Brad, Keanu, Johnny Depp, your pick.
I don't think so.
Don't say you're okay with anything if you are not. This is one of the, this is like the paper cut of daily interactions. Like, it's so irritating and so common and so infuriating and so
yes,
not a big deal
agree.
Yet really bad.
And yet so Kelly, like, just yes. say that you want to watch Soap Dish for the gazillionth time. At least I will co-sign that, and that's what ends up happening, I think. So
it is. By the way, they're doing this in a Blockbuster, which I think Aaron Spelling owned at the time. And then that resident, Greg from the hospital, is there and even remembers Donna's name, which is impressive. But he's renting the Best of the Three Stooges, which is basic. He was going to call Kelly and see if she wanted to get coffee sometime, and she's into it. Meanwhile, back at the apartment, Kelly and Donna are about to watch Soap Dish. Great choice, as we all agree. When the phone rings and it's Tara, somewhere in Venice, having run away from the hospital. Donna says she'll drive. So despite Kelly's characterization of Tara as a little lost lamb, she's a black belt in manipulation in clip 11.
I tried to call you, but you weren't there. And I just got so desperate and so lonely. And I just had to get out of there. Please don't make me go back.
Well, I think it might be the best thing.
Please. I just need to be with you. Can I just stay at your apartment?
It's okay with me. All right, but I'm going to call the unit and tell them where you are.
Okay, that's a good idea. Thanks for coming to get me, you guys.
We wouldn't leave you out here.
Just get in the car and we'll go home.
Yeah, come on.
So this is what it's like to have friends, huh?
Yes, although worth pointing out that Donna is the one that was more ready than Kelly to let her come back to the place with them for ? Length of time.
Well, I guess I felt like Kelly was hesitating because
of Donna.
She wasn't sure what Donna would want to do.
Right,
but
maybe.
On the other hand, Kelly doesn't seem to care about anyone but herself. So
true.
Hard to say.
At the apartment, Tara is very impressed and makes herself at home immediately, claiming this is the best therapy she should get. And Donna shoots her like a second long sort of side eye with pursed lip. It's like, it's so brief, you almost can't see it, but I caught it. It's in the visual aids. And across town, Colin is having a jail nightmare in clip 12.
Oh, God.
Is anybody going to cry tonight?
Hey, $10 just says a new pigeon crash for his mama before morning. But you know the one. The one that took a little joyride. You know, he's right next door to me. I'll make him cry.
And say, he can cry on our shoulder anytime.
Come on, I'll have a moment until you cry.
Is anybody going to cry tonight?
Come on, sweetheart. Let's hear those teardrops fall.
Shut up!
Hey. Really confused.
What a fucking baby.
It's so bad. The dream is like, it's so corny. Like, I hate dream sequences as a rule, but this is
same.
Especially terrible.
Yeah, and it's requiring him to act even more than he has been, and he just continues to like be a bitch about it even in nightmare form. Worst. He's terrible.
Not good. When he wakes up, he babbles that he can't go to prison, and Val says she won't let that happen. And though he says he doesn't know why she's still standing by him after all the shit he pulled, he still doesn't say thank you. Oh, my God. He's the worst. Anyway, let's wrap this up with our most valuable player. The bail bondsman who knows that Colin's bullshit.
Despite her involvement in the Nat Boar Zone, I would say Claire, just because she's a total skeptic about the Kelly Tara thing.
Fair enough. Least valuable player. Colin, the most ungrateful jailbird who ever fucking lived.
And a shitty actor and painter to boot. I concur.
All right. Let us do a user submission to close it out. This is the Professor Hooves Challenge. Five situations Kelly could make about herself. Good episode.
From the episode or just generally?
Let's say from the episode.
Okay. She could make Nat and Joan's failure to reconnect about herself because she would think they were both really concerned about her drug addiction when in fact they didn't really care.
She could make the removal of Colin's art about herself, even though it could just be that it was hideous and her roommates didn't care to look at it anymore in the public spaces of their shared apartment.
She is definitely making the selection of a movie about herself by refusing to consider a period romance, even though her romance with Colin was not from any period, except maybe her own, because she's being a bitch about it.
She could make waiting room redheads omnipresence at the hospital about herself by suggesting that she's stalking Kelly, which maybe she is.
And she could probably make Joe's off-screen heart surgery about herself because it no doubt took place in the same hospital in which she was in rehab.
Nice. That makes five.
Next time on Again With This, Val can't get Colin out of doing time, and Colin is a bitch about it. Steve's half-brothers almost die of first-time drunk, and Rush is a bitch about it. And Tara is a weirdo, and everyone is a bitch about it, especially us. He'll be a bitch, justifiably, about our visual aids, which you can find for this and every other Again With This episode on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at PreviouslyTV and this very podcast at AWT90210. I'm ex-boyfriend's painting, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm here with my co-host, beleaguered public defender, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. Our producer is federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison warden, David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Clark, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. Talk to you next time.
Hashtag in the beach pit.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.